Good morning and a very warm welcome to you all. It's wonderful to gather in person together this morning. And a very warm welcome to everybody who's listening to us online. You are, it's a delight that you're with us also this morning. My name's Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here if you're joining us for the first time online. Today is very, very special for us as a wider community because St Andrew's, who are meeting for the first time this Sunday in about half an hour to gather in person and worship. And that's the first time that St Andrew's has been open for about 6 months or so. So it's a very special and important Sunday where people are gathering there this morning. So let us begin now with a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray also for St Andrew's as they gather for the first time and all that that provokes in us as a wider worshipping community. So Lord, thank you that we can gather together to glorify you, to set aside the challenges and the joys of the world, and to fix our eyes on you. And right now, Lord, we particularly pray for St Andrew's as the doors open and the people gather to lift your name on high. Amen. Well, today we begin our our new sermon series, and we're going to be teaching into We Are the Church, Learning to be Kingdom People, and Reverend Paul Hunt is going to be preaching later on in the service, and we're going to be sort of rolling the teaching program through the autumn, so this will take us through September into the beginning of October, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us after that. But can I invite you to stand? And we're going to say together at Psalm 113, which is a beautiful psalm. I'm going to say the words in yellow if you would speak out the words in white. So praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now and forevermore. Amen. And as God's people, we have gathered here this morning, so let us worship him together. And Martin is going to play Let All the World in Every Corner Sing, which may sound rather contradictory. The words are going to be on the screens. He's going to play. And of course, we can't at this moment sing as a party, as a worshipping group. But this is a confrontation of that position. This is spiritual sitting in the opposite spirit, that actually we as worshippers in our hearts do sing and praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, if you want to stand, speak the words, whisper the words, or whether you want to sit, perhaps some of you want to kneel, as Martin plays and we read and reflect on these words. door can keep them out. And I thank you, Lord, that for these weeks we have been able to gather. And I thank you, Lord, for St. Andrew's as they gather and the doors are opened. And we come to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. And Jana is going to come and read us our reading this morning.
Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, let a little bit of heaven touch this earth today in this church and in our hearts. Those words we've just sung, that the heart must bear the longest part. Touch, Lord, these hearts of ours in our worship this day, in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Peter, so much for your introduction, all you put into this, and so Paul doing the online, and Martin here, and so much backup. It's wonderful to be able to be here. So it's God drawing us back to basics. If I asked you what is really basic to you in the Christian faith, someone said to me just this last week, she said in coronavirus, the lockdown, she said, I've begun to value certain things much more. What have you come to value? What is basic to you in your Christian faith? If in the workplace, they talk about prime time. Television, prime time. What's prime time for you? Any suggestions? What's basic? Yes, right at the back. Love, bless you, Francis, love. We'd all come up with different things, and actually love is very much at the heart of what I'm sharing today, and at the heart of these verses in Acts 2:42. It's the cross at the heart of everything in our Christian faith, with love printed deep on it. These apostles devoted themselves to the apostles' these people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And do you notice in what Peter's done so beautifully, the two ands? I've never noticed this before. It's wonderful in the scripture. You suddenly notice something you've not seen before. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. The two go together. You cannot separate the fellowship we have with what we call the apostolic witness teaching in the scripture. And you cannot separate the breaking of bread and the prayers. So we're going to hold those together this morning. And that's a wonderful word, to be devoted to. What does this word devoted mean to you? It's one of the questions asked in our life groups. Persevere, keep going, hold fast. That wonderful series we've had on Philippians, each one began with keep on, keep on, keep on. What is making you keep on? Those online, what's making you keep on? Coming into our worship here this morning, those of us sitting here in All Saints. And you see, these amazing words we've just had read to us, it's really God at work. Someone has said that mission is joining in where God is already working. Isn't that marvellous? It's not us doing everything. God's working, and we join in with what God is doing. And look what he's doing here. There is a growing church. Though in the notes for today, which Dave has put together so well, he talks about growth as deepening as well as going out. And here's a growing church. The Lord adds to the church. The Lord adds. It's God-centered. We don't add to the church. God adds to it. We're there in his mission. There's a deep sense of awe, of reverence, of trust, of praise deep down in those early members of the church. And God's at work, signs and wonders. Wonder whether you've had a little bit of a wonder or sign this week when you said, that was God, wasn't me, wasn't us, that was God. Sharing of resources, no one left in need. I mean, these are amazing things, isn't it, that God is at work. In the homes, they're breaking bread and eating, sitting down with glad and generous hearts. The goodwill of the people. And it ends up, they all praise God. God is at work. How is God at work among us? It may not be in these ways, it may be in other ways. These may just be an indication of what God is able to do in us and through us. And what was the heart of all this? What was making all this possible? Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. And you see, the apostles were key people. These were people who'd been with Jesus. If you read in Acts chapter 1, when they're replacing Judas, who'd fallen from grace, with another person. And the important thing was, someone who's been among us, where Jesus himself has come in and out among us. This is Jesus in the flesh. But also a witness to the resurrection, that's Jesus in his glorified body. So the apostles were people who knew Jesus in the flesh. They'd walked with him for 3 years. They'd witness his resurrection. This is what makes the apostles' teaching. When we have the creed in church or we read the scriptures, this is what we call the apostolic preaching and teaching. And this keeps us close to Jesus. I love it about Peter and John, where they say about them a bit later in the Acts that they recognize that they had been companions of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's what made them apostles. They'd been companions with Jesus, with him in his flesh, with him in his resurrection. And that's why it's so wonderful that we are able to have helps in reading the Bible, because this, almost more important than anything, with prayer, draws us to the apostles' teaching. Here we've got lectionary readings. It's all online, and we've got the printed copies down here. If you'd like to take one away with you, do. It's the next 3 months. Don't feel you've got to read them all. It's for each day, a psalm, an Old Testament reading, and a New Testament. Take one of them. Take two if you can. But just have something that keeps you in the rhythm of keeping close to the apostles' teaching. Then the second thing is the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. We can only be a fellowship because we are close to Jesus and to the apostles' teaching. If the apostles' teaching on the cross is the vertical, the fellowship is the horizontal. This is the heart of the love. This is the heart of the cross. The apostles' teaching close to Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the glory of God, and horizontal. Because of that, therefore, we can have this amazing fellowship with each other. The word fellowship actually means sharing together. We're all so different. Where else in the world, where else in Great Malvern would a group like us come together? We wouldn't meet in a pub like this. Some of us like pubs, some don't. You know, you wouldn't meet a rugby club or somewhere. But in church, it brings us all together. Why? Because we're sharing in the apostles' teaching, closeness to Jesus, and the fellowship with one another. In fact, Scripture talks us about being sharers or divine participators, sharing in the divine nature. You share, I share in the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. The divinity is in us. This is what we share, more important than anything. St. Paul talks about we share in bread and wine, in the body and blood of Jesus. And that's in 1 Corinthians 10:16. When we take the bread and the wine, we're sharing this morning in the body of Jesus. And in Philippians, St. Paul writes, one or two are taking notes, it's Philippians 2:5, we share in the Spirit. In the Spirit, in the body of Christ, in the very nature of God. That's amazing, isn't it? And the fellowship is something that binds us together today in a way that nothing else does. And then we come to this breaking of bread and of prayer. The breaking of bread and prayer. We're being told here by St. Luke writing, in his writings here, that prayer and breaking of bread, they go together. Tragically, we divided them, and we're not meant to. They're both really important. And whether we call it the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, breaking of bread, the Mass, if you're a Catholic, Eucharist, if you're Orthodox, you call it the liturgy, whatever it is, we come together today because Jesus took bread. This is my body. Jesus took the cup and he said, this is my blood. You know, at a Jewish meal, the father would often begin a meal by just breaking bread. And then the meal would begin. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus took the bread. Take and eat. I've shared this story before. I just share it again. In Iran, in the Middle East, where we heard somebody come back from there in recent days, and he said we were in an underground room because so much of the church in the world is underground. We have this freedom. It's amazing. And he said, we knew there was an informer, that someone from the secret police among us to see who we were. And he said, we knew we shouldn't, with him there, we shouldn't use the name Jesus. He'd go and report it back to the authorities. But he said, you know what we did? We took some bread and we passed it round. And we had a cup with the juice in it. We passed that round. No word was said. The broken bread, the breaking of bread and prayer. Jesus known in the breaking of the bread. I just love those words. End of Luke 24. When those two disciples at Emmaus, their eyes are opened when he broke the bread. Lord, this morning as we break bread here or in our homes, we may just have a piece of bread we can break and we can take. And we know that the broken body of Jesus is with us and in us. And then last of all, we come to the word prayer. And Peter, I'm just wondering, could you move that table just to the front for us? If you can. Thank you so much. Thank you. Into the middle, yeah. Thank you so much. I brought this picture with me. It was actually given to me by a Pentecostal pastor who got it in a Roman Catholic Jesuit retreat house and gave it to me as an Anglican minister. So it speaks to all, really. It speaks hugely to me. Because you see, what so often happens, our eyes narrow down, our hearts narrow down just to all the problems that we face. We lose perspective. We lose seeing the wider world. And what prayer does, what worship does now, it opens us up and takes us out of our quite deep self-centeredness. And this is, I think, what happens as I gaze at this picture, which I often look at. I'll just come down here and... You see, I've had this for many years, actually, since it was given to me. I see this as Jesus. I see it as Jesus open to all the light and glory of heaven. But I see it as the church. It's only the church on this earth that with its apostolic teaching, its breaking of bread, its fellowship and its prayer, that is there and in a unique way is surrounded by the light and love. Even underneath, I love the way the light comes underneath. And these are these hills, mountains, whatever it is, but it's this Christ, it's the church reaching out into the world through prayer. And of course, I see it also as you and as me. However feebly, however weak, we come each day in some way to the Lord. And we're there, and we're not doing great things, but we are held and loved and supported and surrounded by the love of the Lord. My daughter came, or our daughter came and stayed with us last week. She's a very pressurized young lady. Small family, very pressurized work, trying to hold everything together in her life. And three times in the week, she sat for 20 minutes in front of this. And she said at the end, she left me a note saying, I've looked at this and I can see how life belongs everywhere for me. And she said, what I see, I'll read it out. She said, I see a waterfall. It's gentle. It's bringing a river of new life, a new stream of hope with the Holy Spirit as the source. She said, it's like an unfolding, a new beginning. Isn't that wonderful? What works for you in prayer? For some, it's being together, and that's so important. For others, we find that difficult, and in the coronavirus, it's been almost impossible. So we pray often alone. Anyway, in days we often don't have anyone to pray with, and we're on our own, aren't we, a large part of the day. But someone has said, you're never less alone than when you're alone with God. Never less alone than when alone with God. Never less alone because you're surrounded and you're going out in prayer in all kinds of ways, your family, for people, for the world, for whatever God gives on your heart. And many different ways of sometimes just letting words go, like our waiting room. Ways in which you might sometimes just say, Lord, I've got no ways, I'm exhausted. But you're sitting there, surrounded by that wonderful light and love of God. Sometimes I find I just light a candle. Say, Lord, you are my light. Sometimes something from the prayer book, something from our worship this morning, I just have it and I remember it. Sometimes it's just the word help, the best prayer of all. Help. And I'm before you, Lord. Help. And you're there. And that's the most wonderful thing in the world. So we're just going to have a moment of quiet. Perhaps see yourself there. See the church there. See Christ there for you. Often he went just to be with the Father. And see ourselves as the ones in and through whom God is working. Part of that great apostolic teaching and witness, receiving this morning or in our homes in some way the bread, the body of Christ, and join together in prayer. In all the muddle of life, this, Lord, is where we find you, not in the extraordinary, in the ordinary things of life, the muddles of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Why don't we continue to reflect? And Paul, our cameraman, I'm wondering whether for those online we can focus on the picture. The challenge of what do we devote ourselves to? I recognise in myself I end up devoting myself to sport or television or my own enjoyment. How much do I devote myself to the teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers? I wonder what that means for you. Where do you devote your time and your energy to in your life? So let's just respond to Paul's words and spend a moment perhaps reflecting on that picture and ask the Lord to speak to us in this moment. And then we'll continue with our intercessions. Lord, in this season, help us to refocus our devotion onto you, to discover and be refreshed in those ways in which we encounter you and devote ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are together in fellowship and we've heard Paul's teaching. So let us do a third of those four things now and pray. I'm going to invite Bea to come up and join me briefly, but let us pray. As a royal priesthood, let us pray to the Father through Christ, who ever lives to intercede for us. Reveal your kingdom among the nations. May peace abound and justice flourish. And I'm going to give us a time of space in a moment to think of parts of the world that we particularly want to pray for. But because of our special connection with Peru, B is just going to share something for us to pray about.
Some of you will remember Reverend Julio Montoya and his wife Norma, who came to stay with Michael and Beryl Dunn nearly 30 years ago. Sadly, I had a prayer request from Peru and Lima saying that the pandemic C-19 has sadly got to Julio and Norma and they've been hospitalized. They have no NHS, and I was told that Julio was on oxygen. So please remember Peru and Julio and Norman at this difficult time. Thank you.
So as we remember Peru, maybe there are other nations on your hearts that you can bring to the Lord. But in addition, we remember the UK, our own nation. Brexit seems such a long way away, but that's finding some focus now. So we pray for our negotiations with the EU. We pray for Japan, who are anticipating another typhoon. We pray that no one lose their lives and there's minimal damage. And we pray the United States as their up-and-coming elections. So, Lord, we offer to you all the nations that are precious to us on our hearts to you this morning. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. Send down upon us the gift of the Spirit and renew your church with power from on high. Lord, we lift to you the world, the church around the world. And again, particularly at this time where we can meet, but in strange ways. We pray again for St. Andrew's as it gathers, but we pray for all those who aren't willing yet to gather because of concerns over COVID. We pray that we will rediscover, continue to discover a special connection in our spiritual unity, even though physically we're apart. We pray for unity amongst the church across the world. And we remember the church under persecution in places like China, Korea, Christians in India, and many other parts of the world. Again, we offer our own prayers in that part of praying for the church around the world. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. Deliver the oppressed, strengthen the weak, heal and restore your creation. Lord, we remember those in our own community at this moment who are suffering. Think of Megan, think of Ken at this moment who's unwell, and those that are known to us, our friends, family, and our neighbours. We pray for the uncertain consequences of the COVID that we're anticipating, what the effects of the economy, whether there would be joblessness. We think of those increase in mental health issues, particularly amongst the young. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. rejoice in the fellowship of the church on earth. We join our prayers with all the saints. And we pray for ourselves. Continue to stir us as to how we can devote ourselves to you, Lord. In response to last week, how we can stay on the front foot and continue to bless the community around us. We pray for those in our community that are about to head off to university, those that have returned to school. And we pray for our special town and community here in Malvern. Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are going to listen to a song now, and I haven't checked the sound, so I'm hoping it's all just going to naturally move into, be absolutely fine. But this is what we believe. This song declares our faith. And so, again, if you want to stand, please feel free, or to kneel, whatever you did, or wish to be a part of worshipping. So I'm hoping this will all work fine.
God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
It's good to remind us the core of what we believe. And at the centre, as Paul showed us, is the cross. And so as we now gather to that fourth side of what we devote ourselves, the breaking of bread, let us say the peace of the Lord together. The peace of the Lord be with you. And I want to look around each other and just wave at each other and share the peace in that way. Please then to take a seat. So we now come to share that bread and that wine. So I will take the wine on our behalf and then I will come round and distribute the bread. And for those that are new and haven't been here up until this time, I'll do that as I come to you. If you could stretch out your hand and then I will drop the bread into your hand. So, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right, and it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is our living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning, and formed us in your image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, given him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. And through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit, made us a people of your own possession. And therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and his blood, who in the same night he was betrayed, took bread, gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offerings of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Let us say together, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise, as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty. Renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs and everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Say together, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. And so with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving. So let us say together the post-communion prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with your body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So we're coming to the end of our time together. Just to remind you that the newsletter contains all sorts of information about our services and what is going on and things that are going on, particularly some wonderful testimonies of people that have recently done Alpha. So the kingdom of God is growing and expanding even in this time. And many of you will know that we did Alpha online, but there's some lovely testimonies worth listening to and being encouraged. If you're not getting the newsletter, please let us know and we'll find ways of getting that to you or put you on the list if you're not. The other thing that is on that newsletter, I really encourage you to have a look at, is a word in season, let's put it that way, and an encouragement about perhaps how we might approach an ongoing approach this season, about not necessarily understanding what God is doing, but trusting him and just being faithful to the things that we can do, not knowing necessarily what will happen, that it'll make more sense when you see the newsletter. But I really encourage you. I found it very encouraging, and another piece of scripture to hold on to in this time, an encouragement. So let me finish by sharing the blessing. And Lord, help us to go into this week devoting ourselves to you, to your teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to praying. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Lovely to see you. We obviously go out through the one-way system. Please clean your hands if you as you depart. And Paul mentioned the lectionary sheets. They're just on the table. Please take one. And it's got all the readings for the next 3 months that the church and the Anglican Communion all read on a daily basis. So when you read it, you know that you're joining the whole of the Anglican Communion in doing that. But lovely to see you. And see you in due course.